It's time now to look through the window of baseball. Boy, you better keep that window closed with the tornadoes around. Bruce Jenkins brings us the thoughts by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett & White, the professional builder's choice. St. Louis baseball, Bruce, last night, surreal with all the lightning strikes. And all of a sudden, Matt Cain, five perfect innings. But the one inning, he wasn't perfect. He got walloped.
Yeah, he really did. I watching some of those bats over again, So he threw so many fastballs right down the middle. I mean, to a bunch of aggressive hitters who weren't waiting around, they're right in the wheelhouse. And, you know, when you do that, big league hitters are going to light you up, especially these guys with one really good hitter after another. And he did throw some good pitches, you know, in the other innings, but that doesn't really matter if you're going to give up seven. and like I say, fastballs right down the gut. So I know there's been a lot of discussion about tipping his pitches. It was mentioned on the air by Fleming and Kiper. They brought it right up to the surface. And reading Henry Hulman's stuff, it was talked about after the game, and they certainly don't think it's the case. I don't know why all of a sudden he'd be tipping his pitches now after all these years. Maybe the Cardinals have a sophisticated sign-stealing process in place, but I do know that they were really comfortable against that fastball and absolutely teeing off on it.
Yeah, he's pitched over 1,600 major league innings, and up to this point, he hasn't ever really gone through something like this. But you watch him in that inning, and I keep saying to myself, all right, just get a hit. Just hit it at somebody. and it just can't happen. And I questioned, you know, just you look at all the elements, and you looked at those at bats again, and a lot of fastball counts, maybe fastballs being hit, maybe he's got to mix up his pitches a little bit more and throw more quality pitches, and maybe part of that is Posey.
Well, it's possible. I mean, I don't think Posey's setting up dead down the middle. In the inning right after that, I think he spotted his fastball beautifully, you know, just enough off the plate where it was still a strike, but the guy couldn't get a real good whack at it. He pitched Adams way better the next time, and I think most all of the guys. That's what made it so strange, but I'm not so sure I'm buying that he's tipping his pitches, but I just think he had a really bad spell there, and it's just so curious because it typifies what's going on with the rotation. Really now outside of Bumgarner, it's kind of a virus that's spreading throughout, and it's hurting them.
Yeah, now the onus is on Bumgarner in game two here to slow down this Cardinal team, which is just the best in baseball right now, at least numbers-wise.
The Cardinals are great. They're so impressive. Every year they're a little different, but every year they're the same. You know, they're the same kind of team, and they'll probably get Yadier Molina in the second game, which isn't going to be any bargain, especially with, you know, right-hand hitter against Bumgarner. But this is a real test for him. It's not make or break. I'm sure if he loses the talk shows, you'll be dealing with some of these people who go crazy and want to tear it up or God knows what, and they're going to need some patience. But at the same time, it'd be nice to get a win here. I mean, that would be a real good game to win.
Well, especially on the road. I said you can't win. You know, you're not going to win 60 at home. Mm-hmm. So at some point, well, they 9-16 on the road now. That's 25 games. So you got 56 more, so to get to 40 wins, you got to be like 31 and what, 25 or something to get there. And you know that's not impossible, but you got to turn it around because you have to win at least half on the road because you're just not going to win over 50, I would say, at home. And you got to get to 90 wins.
Yeah, it's not that there's some fundamental weakness with the team. I mean, just last fall, look what they did in Cincinnati and St. Louis. I mean, they've. It's not an issue of character or not being able to handle it or this and that. I mean, they measure up to all those things. They're just in a bad spell right now. And because it's the pitching, that's what is throwing everyone here for a loop because it's been such a long time since we've seen that.
Yeah, Bruce Jenkins, of course, joins us. Bruce, the other part I've said on the air, I think there's certain injuries that hurt the ball club, the Vogelsong injury. Of course, he came around, had a great game, and then he got hurt in the game that he pitched well. Casilla, what he did to that eighth inning spot in the bullpen, and the top of the order. You know, you get Pagan and Scudero doing. Scudero had 42 hits in May, and you get Pagan doing his thing, and Sandoval, he's hurt now, and all of a sudden you're clicking again. But I think these injuries maybe are not highlighted enough in how it changes the ball club.
No, I agree. They're they're a different team without Pagan in there. And of course, the last we saw of him, he's scoring that inside the park home run, one of the great moments of the recent history, the Giants' history. But I think he's badly missed. Scudero hasn't been feeling good. There's your number two guy. That's really the essence of their whole offensive scheme, is getting those guys starting up the machine. What's bothersome to me is that it is a hamstring with Pagan, and guys like that who are explosive and go from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, that's a bad injury to have lingering. And with Sandoval, a foot injury, with a guy that heavy, it makes you wonder if it might come back. So the idea of it being chronic, I think, is as disturbing as how much they've been missed.
Boy, and now, again, I look at the West, and I said, all right, Arizona, boy, they're cooking along now. McCarthy's on the DL with a bad shoulder. Josh Beckett today said he's got numbness in his pitching hand. He doesn't know if he'll ever pitch again.
Yeah.
Colorado is Colorado. What can I tell you, last night, very exciting. Todd Helton hits his 2-run homer in the ninth inning to tie things up, and they kick it in the next inning.
Yeah.
So when it's all said and done, 107 games to go, and you've been there before, it's got to be comforting, although it is frustrating for the ball club.
It is. I think the team to watch really is Arizona, because they've got Daniel Hudson coming back in a couple weeks. Tyler Skaggs has been pitching real good in the minors. He's a big-time prospect that they really like. And they can absorb this McCarthy injury in a way that the Giants haven't been with Vogelsong. They actually have a deeper rotation base than the Giants now, and that sure happened in a hurry. And they play the game right, I think. I like Arizona. I like the way they've restructured the way they approach the game. And I think they're the most dangerous team. I really do.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And Bruce Bochy pointed this out to me the other day. He says they catch the ball.
Yeah.
And
huge.
If you, in defensively, I forget, they may be second or third in the league with least amount of errors, which, you can't underplay.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a problem with the Dodgers. I mean, Hanley Ramirez will be welcome back for his bat, but he's going to hurt him defensively. They haven't been strong in the outfield defensively. They've just been sloppy kind of all around. And I just think, in essence, they're not a terribly good defensive team. So that's and you never want the Dodgers to get too hot, and I think that might be one reason that they don't. And, of course, with all the pitching, Greinke hurts his collarbone in a fight, and now Beckett does. I mean, it's just bizarre.
Isn't it? What a season. This is, Bruce, this is why you love writing about it, why I love talking about it. It starts off in March. We're sitting down there in spring training and speculating and this and that. And once the bell rings and the horses are out of the gate, my God, the things that happen before you get to the finish line. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, I didn't put any predictions in print this year. And I'm kind of glad I did, because there's just no way you can predict what's going on, especially when you get down to specifics. Who said today that, Kane's going to pitch six basically flawless innings, except for one when they get seven, and he can't get anybody out.
Right. Other than that, he was perfect.
Yeah, or some of these late inning games ending at 3 a.m, and tornadoes. It's just great. It's why I love the game so much, because you literally don't ever know quite what you're going to see, no matter how much you think you know it.
I know. Strasburg, he's got his back muscles. Harper's on the DL, and they had a 4-hour, 32-minute rain delay in the ninth inning.
Oh, my God.
And really, Joe West says, no, we're going to finish the game. 4 hours, 32 minutes later, they finished the game. And I like that he did that, because if he didn't do it, the score would have reverted back to the eighth inning.
This is another disturbing aspect of the interleague games every day, because you get these situations where you're always going to have, this is the last time we see him.
Yeah.
And we have to take drastic measures because it's the last time we see him. In the old days, if it's Giants Cardinals or Giants Reds, whatever, you're going to see him again. Maybe he won't be there, but and this is going to come up again as the summer goes on.
Yeah, it's funny. Can you imagine that if that was out here, that all of a sudden at 11 o'clock at night, seriously, there's a 4-hour, 32-minute, now it's 3:30 in the morning in San Francisco, and they're finishing the ninth inning. I mean, can you imagine John and Dave and who's doing the post-game diamond notes that day?
Oh, I remember covering a game in Philadelphia where Carlton had a no-hitter, and it rained like heck. We watched an entire 10-inning game from Anaheim during the rain delay. They kicked it back up at 1 in the morning and finished about, I think it was 3:08.
Amazing.
And that's when we started riding, and we didn't get out of the vet till about 4 or something.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. But that's even been topped.
All right. Well, hey, tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock?
Yep, you got it.
All right, Bruce. Have a good night. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Marty.
All right. That is Bruce Jenkins. Always a pleasure to have him on.